Welcome to the Crystal Pain Show, where we help you embrace your life right where you are and give you practical steps to get where you want to go. Whether you are in your car, folding laundry, cooking, cleaning, or maybe even just enjoying a cup of coffee and a few minutes of quiet, we're so glad you're joining us today. Here's your host, wife, mom of six kids, foster mom, entrepreneur, and author, Crystal Pain. Welcome to another episode of the Crystal Pain Show. Today's topic is one that it's a little political, maybe. But not in the way that you might be thinking, or not in the way that maybe you're seeing all over social media, if you're on social media. Part of me feels like we should just get off of social media right now, especially this election. I remember 2020, it was similar. It just feels like it's sort of a firestorm, a dumpster fire, and everyone, not everyone, but I would say the vast majority of people have some feelings about the election. Mm-hmm. And honestly, if you live in America, I think you should have some feelings about the election and shouldn't just have this, well, whatever happens, happens, you know. But also, those feelings can turn into big feelings, which then can mean that we're reading between the lines, we're getting triggered over things, we're taking offense easily. And I am just noticing in my direct messages, I'll say something that is not controversial at all. Mm-hmm. And people will get offended by it and be upset or be really ugly or tell me I shouldn't post that and call me names. And I know that it's just because there's a lot of fear right now. And people are feeling on edge. It was like this in 2020. So we are going to talk about quietly rebelling against the narrative of fear. What does that mean? What does that look like? Why should we? I want to start a rebellion. I don't think I've ever said that before. We're going to talk about that. But before we get to that, Jesse, we've had a lot that has happened since we last recorded a podcast. We went on vacation to Bull Shoals Lake near Mountain Home, Arkansas. This was our 23rd year to go with my extended family. We started
your 23rd year.
Sorry, not your 23rd year.
22nd, probably. 21st, maybe.
Yeah, because we started going before you and I were even married, and mm-hmm. It was just my family with just the nine of us. And
Wait.
I had to count for a second. There are seven kids.
20.
What do you count?
Yeah. Because I didn't go before we got married.
Right. And we've been married for 21 years. So mm-hmm. I think you've gone for 21 times. Anyway, we had really, really, really looked forward to this vacation. And it's kind of the highlight of our summer. And it's so fun because all of us look forward to it. And it's really cool to have a vacation that every single person is looking forward to, from our 19-year-old down to our 2-year-old. I mean, Micah doesn't exactly know, but he was like, boat, water, lake, swim, yep. Pool, you know, grandma, grandpa. And then you got sick on the drive. And I apparently was not cluing in, because we got to the hotel. We didn't drive the full distance to Mountain Home just because it's just take it easy. And mm-hmm. So we drove. Do we drive 5.5 or 6 hours?
Six, yeah.
And by we, you drove. Mm-hmm. I sat in the passenger seat. I don't usually drive on trips. I don't usually drive any time that you're in the car. we've just learned that's better for our marriage. Actually, I just don't enjoy driving. And like you have said for a long time, driving is not one of my core competencies. So it's better for you to drive. Anyway, so I don't know if there was just so many different things going on, but apparently you had told me you weren't feeling very well. And I don't know, I didn't hear until we got to the hotel, which mm-hmm. was in, where did we stay?
West Plains.
West Plains, Missouri. Okay. And I was like, what's wrong? And you're like, I do not feel well. And I think you basically barely, I'm trying to remember, you helped unload some of the stuff in the car. And then you just collapsed in bed. And then we got out our medicine bag and got the thermometer. And you had, I think your temperature was like 102.5 at that point.
Yes. Yeah. And upper 101.
Which I felt terrible because you have hardly ever had a fever since we've been married. In all 21 years of marriage, I feel like I can count on one hand the times you've had a fever. It is very, very rare. And for it to be 102.5, that's very high for you. And so you didn't get out of bed. And I got everybody packed up and ready the next morning, loaded the car up, the older kids helped. And then you did drive because
I was feeling a little bit better.
I think you took some Advil or something. And then we got to the cabins and you went straight in and went to bed and didn't really get out of bed for a few days. Mm-hmm. And your fever ended up going up quite high and you were just miserable. And I felt so terrible for you because here you'd really look forward to this lake vacation and you were in bed. But we had talked in the car about what you were looking forward to for the vacation. And you'd said, I don't really have any plans to do any water sports, you know, three little ones. We'll probably just be mostly focused on keeping them safe because mm-hmm. there's lots of water around this. And when you have three little people, you just want to be real careful. And so I was grateful that you went in with that expectation because mm-hmm. that was the case. You didn't That's get to do happened. Any water sports. But you kind of got a nice little break, even mm-hmm. though you were miserable. I think once you started feeling a little bit better, you were able to get some reading in and just kind of mm-hmm. had a lot of quiet because we weren't in the cabin much. I had the kids outside of the cabin. And so I just felt really badly for you. But it all worked out in that you got a lot of downtime and a lot of time to rest. And God was faithful to give me what I needed to be able to take care of the kids. And I ended up because, you know, I was thinking about this, because you were sick and not able to help with the kids at night, I think had you not been sick, I probably would have said, hey, I'm going to go back over after I put the kids to bed.
You would have stayed up
and I would have stayed up really late. But because you weren't able to help with the kids, then I went to bed when they went to bed, because every night I would lay in bed with them and read the story to them. We usually read this poetry book before bed. And I fell asleep.
every single night.
I fell asleep. And so I went to bed by 8:30 pretty much every single night of the trip, mm-hmm. which I can't remember the last time that I have gone to bed at 8:30 multiple nights in a row. So I came home also feeling quite rested because of that. So that was an unexpected gift. We came home and had Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday morning, kids started back to school. And so this week we are getting back into the swing of things. Mm-hmm. I feel like you get spoiled over summer. There are pros and cons. Summer can feel kind of chaotic, especially with having teenagers and younger kids, because the teens are in and out of the house all day long, bringing their friends over. You never know who's going to be here, when, what. Silas is not able to drive himself anywhere yet because he's only 15. And so he is Mr. Social. And every morning it's like, hey, I'm going to get together with my friends. Can you take me there in 30 minutes? Or, you know, all of a sudden it'll be like,
yeah, drop a bomb.
Can you come pick me up in 20 minutes? You know, so I'm so glad that he enjoys spending time with other people. But there's a part of me that is going to be excited whenever he has his driver's license, although we might never see him once he has his driver's license. But there's just in and out constantly all day long. And so it's kind of hard to have any semblance of a schedule or a routine because of that. So it's nice to be back to the school rhythm where, you know, this is when we get out the door and this is how it's going to be. And these people are going to be at school. And so I'm excited. I'm excited for that. Although 5:15 has come really early the last few mornings. Like, I get ready to go to bed and I'm like, oh yes, 5:15. But it was good. I prepared by going to bed at 8:30 every night for the week before. I am reading this book right now by Cal Newport. I actually got it from Megan Hyatt Miller. She leads our mastermind, and she gave everyone in the mastermind this book at our last meeting. It's called Slow Productivity Have you seen it, heard it, heard of it?
From you.
Well, I haven't even talked to you about the book. You've seen the book probably laying around. I haven't mentioned anything about the book to you. But I am really enjoying it. It's, if you've ever read any of Cal Newport's books, I don't think you have. Have you? I loved his deep
Maybe
work.
Maybe a long time ago.
We had him on the podcast. It was, he was kind of one of my dream guests, and we got to have him on the podcast. It was a not, it was a virtual interview. It was back when I was still doing virtual interviews, but loved getting to have him on the podcast. We can link to that in the show notes. But this book, it was funny because at the mastermind at dinner, one of my friends who's in the mastermind was just going on and on and on about this book and how it was really impacting her. She was reading everything. The next morning, we get to the mastermind and Megan has bought this book for all of us. And so I was like, I'm so excited to read this because I just heard all about it at dinner last night. His books are a little bit more, I mean, the everyday person can read them and it's not over your head, but it is, he cites a lot of sources and data and you have to kind of read carefully. But I just love his premise about productivity isn't necessarily about just doing a whole bunch of stuff. And slow productivity, where when we slow down and do less, we can actually end up getting more done. And so he talks about really leaving space in your calendar for being able to think and being able to process things and planning less in your day than feels like you have. I didn't say that well. How am I trying to say this?
I don't know. It's your story.
Planning fewer things to do in the day than you have time for.
Okay.
So I feel
so
like
that way you're not overwhelmed and are able to actually get everything done.
Yes. So he talks about like basically looking at your day and instead of being like, oh, I could get this, 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 and this, and this done, planning fewer things and doing a better job of those. And obviously there's some, I'm excited to continue to read the book because there's some things I know he has a section is like for parents and stuff. And you know, when you have six kids, there's you, it's not like you have a day where it's just like, well, I'm going to just lay in the back and look at the tree for hours. He literally gives a story of this one guy who spent 2 weeks laying on a picnic table, looking up at the trees to work out this paper he was writing and that how just doing that gave him the wisdom and insight to be able to write this incredible paper. But obviously some of us can't just go sit on, I mean, most of us probably can't go sit on a picnic table, but he really challenges kind of where you think, well, I don't have time to do less. And thinking of it in the context of what am I putting on my calendar that I feel like I'm supposed to do? What am I putting on my calendar that I really have to do? And am I just overloading it because, or not even overloading it, but am I just putting things on the day because it's like, well, I have some time here this afternoon, so why don't I get those projects done? And how many of the projects am I doing really, truly matter? Or is it just busy work? And that's something that we've really been working on with the business is just kind of that 80-20. Where's the 20% that's really making a big impact? And how can we do a lot more of that and a lot less of the stuff that's just busy work? Or how can we just make space to do that 20% better versus just feeling like we need to be doing all the things that everybody else is doing. So anyway, that was Slow Productivity by Cal Newport. I'm excited to finish the book, but I think I'm like 70 pages in, and so far it's been really good. Recently, I recorded an ad on the FeatherSnap app and the FeatherSnap bird feeder. We got quite a few questions in about that. And when I recorded the ad, we hadn't gotten the bird feeder in yet. It was just the app. And we got the bird feeder in and we have really been loving it. Or maybe this says that I'm getting old. But it's really cool because it is this bird feeder that has a live camera feed on it and it takes pictures anytime a bird comes to your bird feeder. And then there's an app that it does cost. It's $50 a year, but the app, you can then get snapshots of all of the birds every single day. And I feel like this makes me an old person, but
really.
I really enjoy looking at the birds. In fact, this morning I was doing the dishes and I could see the bird feeder out there and I was like, I'm pretty sure that that is a different cardinal than has come to our bird feeder because I'm starting to know. We have a lot of cardinals that have
gone to the bird feeder.
I'm starting to notice the markings on them and know which one is which. And I've never
I'm really impressed by that.
I've never been like this before. And even saving birds to my bird book on my app.
It's fascinating though, because like we've got this one, the birds are, most of them are in this phase of molting, especially the cardinals. So they look really janky and they're molting their summer coat for their winter coat, I guess is a way you could put it. But there's one, the dude's lost all of his hair off of his head.
And it's all black.
It's like dark blue.
And he has a very large head too. It's not, that's what's so weird. So the first time I saw the picture on the app of this bird, and I'm like, Jesse, what is this bird? And it looks like, it makes his beak look really large
too. It does. But you remember the guy from, what's that movie? Captain America. That's the redhead. I don't remember what his name is. You know who I'm talking about? The villain in Captain America. It's got the kind of the lizardy red hair, red, almost looks like a skull. It doesn't have his nose.
I'm sure I do, anyway, but it's not coming.
That's what it looks like, but it's dark blue on this bird. It just looks, I couldn't identify it. I searched it up online and could not identify it. And then finally figured out that the rest of the body looks like a cardinal and the beak looks like a cardinal. So, and figured out it's because the whole head has molted the feathers off. And what's weird is it has red eyebrows.
It's just very interesting looking. I think we're going to start a bird podcast. No, I'm just joking. But it's funny because you and I have both really enjoyed this. Mm-hmm. And so anyway,
kids enjoy it.
Yeah. And getting to show them the different birds. And it's really fascinating to see how many birds come to the bird feeder. And I just keep thinking, it's so weird. We just put this bird feeder up. How do they know? Like, do they all, probably somebody knows this, but like, do they all tell each other? Like, oh, there's a new, there's, yeah. Like, I just wonder, how do they all know to come? Because now they're all coming to the bird feeder and there are so many birds coming. And who first discovered it? And did they then pass it on? Are they finding it by smell? Just, I have so many questions that I want to ask the birds.
Mm-hmm. For the birds.
This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. And I feel like I need to preface what I'm going to say with this. I'm a huge advocate of breastfeeding. Anyone who knows me well knows that nursing is something I believe in, and all five of our biological children were breastfed until they were 19 to 23 months old. However, we also have fostered and adopted, and I've been so grateful for formula companies in those situations. I'm also grateful for formula companies because our last two biological children, I really struggled with my supply and did all the things, spent so much time and effort, and just was never able to produce enough for them to be able to gain weight and not be hungry. And so I was so grateful for companies like ByHeart. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company built from the ground up to deliver real innovation on behalf of babies and parents. Their mission is simple: make the best formula in the world. Using the latest in breast milk science, ByHeart created a clinically proven, easy to digest infant formula that's made with organic, grass-fed whole milk, certified clean ingredients, and features a patented protein blend that gets closest to breast milk. They're made with certified clean ingredients. It has no soy, corn syrup, GMOs, or palm oil. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code CRYSTAL for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. So go to byheart.com/podcast and use CRYSTAL to get your welcome offer. As we're headed into the back to school season, I know many of us parents, we want to make sure that our children are getting the help that they need when it comes to subjects in school, areas maybe that they're struggling in, help with homework, areas that they're excelling in, maybe not getting challenged enough in class. Well, IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies, and it's designed to help kids really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. I was first introduced to IXL a few years ago when Silas's math class, his teacher changed to using this. And it was really, the goal of it was so that they could get a better read on where all of the kids in the class were doing and where they needed to be challenged more, where they were struggling. And I loved the real-time feedback. The other thing is that it really challenged Silas because he's someone who's kind of independently motivated and he loved that he could work ahead and work at his own pace. And he wanted to see those stats and see the results. And he ended up being able to then move up in math to a different level because he was so motivated and they saw that he was really doing well based upon his stats from IXL. So I'm really grateful for IXL because it just helped him to be able to be more challenged when it came to math. This program will improve your kids' grades. Backed by research, kids using IXL are scoring higher on tests. It also will work for any of your kids. There are advanced algorithms that power it, so IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. Also, one subscription to IXL gets you everything. So if you have kids different ages in your home, pre-K to 12th grade, IXL covers it all. Also, it can save you money because instead of hiring a tutor, you might be able to just use IXL, and a single hour of tutoring costs more than a month of IXL. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And my podcast listeners, listeners of the Crystal Payne Show, can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. So visit IXL.com today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. We also got this question on a completely different topic from Karen. She said, you talked about a collagen protein powder you use in a February podcast on the update of your goals. I would love to know what collagen protein powder you use. Thank you so much for your inspiration and the fun you and Jesse have. All the best. So Jesse, you are the master of protein powders and collagen and all of that. Do you want to tell us about it?
All sorts of different kinds of protein, of collagen. It's basically whatever you can get your hands on. So I don't know what back then what it was, but I use...
This is the only collagen protein, the one that you're going to talk about is the only one that I've used. So the
BPN collagen protein?
Yes.
Bear Performance Nutrition.
What I love about it is that it is collagen and protein together, mostly...
Collagen is protein.
Yes, but collagen by itself, the body assimilates it different than protein powder. And so a lot of people believe that you cannot count just straight up collagen powder or liquid toward your protein goals. I still count it because of how your body assimilates it. And so this one is actually collagen and protein mixed together. Now, I will say, oh no, he's going to go research it. I just saw. Okay. Nobody quote me on that. That's just what I've heard and read and researched, but I am not as researchy as Jesse. So he will have an update for us in just a minute. I will say that I don't like it mixed in like a decaf latte. I think that it's better mixed in something like a protein smoothie or a smoothie, or mixed in like tea that has some type of sweetener in it, because I just feel like the actual collagen protein has a bit of a bitter taste. Mm-hmm. It blends in really well, but it has a bit of a bitter taste. So if you add it to coffee, it kind of makes it have an off taste. So at least that's what I think. So I prefer it in something like tea with honey and cream or something.
And I use mine in my coffee, but I do half a serving. Mm-hmm. So it's only less than 10 grams of protein because it's 20 grams per serving. And then I put in some MCT oil powder as well as creatine in my coffee. So,
do you have an update for us on what the statement that I just made? Was it inaccurate?
Well, it just says provides 20 grams of protein per serving. So, I mean, it does count towards, I would say it would count towards your protein, but I don't know necessarily if it assimilates differently.
Well,
the different kinds of protein, casein and whey protein, that all assimilates differently.
Most of them just say collagen. They don't say collagen protein. So that's
collagen. Well, this is collagen peptides. So it's
maybe they just put protein. Maybe they just put protein. So people like me are like, oh, this is not just collagen. It's collagen protein.
It's the same thing.
Anyway, if you have any insight into that, people who are much wiser and more researched than me on protein and collagen, you can let us know. And you can let us know, what is it? BPM?
BPN.
BPN.
Bare Performance Nutrition.
Bare Performance Nutrition, that whether that is actual collagen and protein or just straight up collagen. All right, let's talk about quietly rebelling against the narrative of fear. So like I mentioned, this is a bit of a volatile election season. I think every election season becomes kind of heated, but I feel like with the presence of social media, which we've had for the last few elections, but it's just become more and more and more where people can say little sound bites that go viral, that are taken out of context. And the thing I've seen this election that I don't recall seeing before is how many things are being put out there that aren't true. For instance, someone will create what looks like a tweet or whatever we call it now that it's X, not Twitter. They will create one of those and then they'll put it on TikTok and it will be some famous person and it will be some political statement that they're making that they never said.
Like Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, but a modern political person. Okay. So someone that, let's say like a Taylor Swift or something that, you know, she's saying this, or somebody who is in high office politically or something is saying something about another candidate, a party, whatever. And then people don't fact check and they just think that it got said by this person. We're also seeing a lot of AI stuff and it's just so much easier now to be able to create things like that, like what looks like a tweet or like what looks like someone actually said something and, or, you know, to enhance photos, add extra people, different things like that. There's just a lot that's being done that hasn't been done before because we didn't have the AI capabilities that we did 4 years ago. And so
and they were starting to get developed at that time and we knew it was going to get bad. Deep fakes. You know, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. And the problem is you don't, where is the moral underpinning that provides the correct direction on how to properly use something like that?
Yeah. And so I'm just seeing a lot more of that kind of stuff happening where things are being manufactured to create a look or and to upset people, to incite people, or to excite people, but then to, on the flip side, cause people, the opposite side, to be really upset and for things to get shared and go viral and all of that. And there's just been so much angst. And the biggest thing that I'm noticing, because I follow very differing political beliefs, which I honestly personally think that if you are only following people who believe very similar to what you believe, who are kind of preaching to the choir, it actually can be very detrimental. Now, I know some people it's hard to listen to what someone says who believes very differently than you, but I think it's a good exercise for us to lean in and really listen. And the thing that I'm hearing is so much fear, so much fear. It's like fear propaganda, basically, and on both sides.
Yes, but it's not new. It's not new. Fear sells when it comes to politics.
Fear sells when it comes to anything.
Well, I'm just thinking politically.
Yes.
I mean, you go back to the 1800s, it's politics, political campaigns based upon fear. And it's based upon, you don't want to be, you're if so-and-so is elected, you're going to be put in a different position than what you are in right now. And you want to stay in that position. So vote this way. That's fear-based politics.
Also,
I think you're right. Social media just amplifies it.
Yes. And also, if someone is afraid, they're much easier to be controlled. And so
true.
If you, as a voice, whether you're through, on TV, whether you're in a political office, whether you're on Instagram or TikTok or wherever you have, a voice, and you can incite fear in people, then you are much better able to control them and also have people continue to listen to you. Mm-hmm. Like you said, fear sells. And those of you who have not gone through marketing, different teachings on marketing, they literally teach you how to lean into people's fear. Like that is the...
Well, you think about when you communicate something to get somebody to do something, you want to... meet a felt need. You talk about having felt needs all the time. What is the most prominent felt need somebody has besides fear? You want to, and playing into that. And what is fear? I like it to define fear as false evidence is appearing real. How often is something that you are afraid of actually happen?
Mm-hmm.
Hardly ever.
But if people can get you to be afraid, then they can get you to take action usually.
Mm-hmm.
But we shouldn't be living out of fear. And I think it's Anne Bogle in one of her books. She said, decisions made out of fear are not good decisions. And yet, if you pay attention to what's going on in the media, what all the marketing and advertising campaigns for political people, for parties, what's going on in social media, it's just massive fear. Like it's driven by fear. And I just want to challenge people, start paying attention. Like when you hear someone who is in politics talking, how much of what they're saying is fear-based?
Mm-hmm.
Like you talked about, like they're saying, if this person is elected, this is what's going to happen. And what they're saying is like this terrible, awful thing, which, okay, so there may be some truth, some grain of truth that may possibly happen, but we don't know that. And so if you
also don't know the extent to which that will happen. Does that happen to the inflated extent that is being propagated?
Right.
And it's propaganda is what it is.
And a lot of the time also, the political candidate doesn't even have the ability.
Correct.
Or the authority
that
to do the things that they're saying, if this person is elected, this is what's going to happen.
Drives me nuts.
And it's on both sides. And so I am not calling out a specific side. I am calling out both sides. And I'm just challenging people. Do not make your decisions based upon fear and really, 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 question yourself of, am I following this person because they are creating fear that's inciting me to feel like I need to continue listening to what they're saying because it's causing me to feel like, oh, I need to take action based upon the fear that they're mm-hmm. instilling in me.
One of the best antidotes to fear is education. Take the time to educate yourself on our government, on what can be done, what's appropriate, what's proper under the Constitution. There's so much misunderstanding of what is able to be done under the Constitution that feeds into that fear. And it's because we have a constitutionally illiterate populace that is being used. So educate yourself.
Well, and also I would say maybe you need to take a breather from consuming media. I've had to step back in some areas. Like I said, I love to follow differing viewpoints. I want to understand why someone believes what they do. But I told you, I think it was a week ago, I was starting to just feel some angst mm-hmm. in my heart over just the things that I was hearing. And I realized I was letting fear and anxiety be kind of what was driving me, and then feeling like, well, I need to consume more because maybe that will help me feel better. When it, no, like if you're feeling like you need to consume in order to feel better, or you're consuming because you're angry, or you're consuming out of fear, or whatever it is, take a step back. You know, so yes, educate yourself, and also make sure you have some good parameters and boundaries for what you're consuming. And really, in your everyday life, you know, think about, is this going to matter in 25 years from now? And am I allowing the fear that someone is basically projecting on my future to steal the joy of today? And that's what I see happening so much. People are so afraid of the future that they're missing out on the beauty of today. We don't even know if we'll make it to the election. We have no idea. And so let's live today. I wrote this Instagram post that I want to close with about quietly rebelling against the narrative of fear and what that looks like. I said, in the midst of brokenness and mess, there is hope. There is goodness, there is beauty, there is healing, there is redemption. Instead of letting fear win, let's be people who choose hope, who quietly rebel against the narrative of fear that the media and politicians want us to fall prey to by choosing to live fully and wholly right where we are, to not cower, but have courage, to fight for our marriages, to disciple our kids, to love wholeheartedly, to give generously, to smile, to show up, to bring a word of kindness, to live in confidence, because we know that this world is not our final home. Let's be the generation of people who trust Jesus like never before, because we know that our long-lasting hope is not in a person or a politician or a change of policy. It is in Jesus and Jesus alone. Let's be the hope bringers, the joy givers, the gratitude choosers. Let's fight against fear by living lives of faith as we look to Him who is our greatest hope, Jesus. So that's really what I'm challenging myself. This is my mantra, getting up every day and choosing to quietly rebel against the narrative of fear by saying, I'm going to live fully in today. I'm going to look into those that person's eyes. I'm going to ask questions and really listen to the answers. I'm going to see the beauty that is around me, and I'm going to walk in faith instead of letting fear control me and dictate my how I feel about life. Because fear can just strangle us, and it can keep us stuck. It can keep us feeling paralyzed, and it steals the joy. It sucks the air out of a room, and it really can keep us from being able to be fully present and fully in relationships.
I agree with you about it being paralyzing and can make you stuck, but it can also cause you to do things that are irrational and that are spur of the moment, that are reactionary. So when you decide not to live in fear, step back, take some deep breaths, and think about what you're going to be doing in response to whatever information that you're taking in, instead of being reactionary. Because at that point, you're being purposeful, you're being intentional. And living in fear prompts the opposite of not being intentional, not being purposeful.
Well, I think about how anger is a secondary emotion. And I feel like so often we lash out in anger because of fear. And so on the internet, in conversations with other people, like, are we being reactive because of our own fear? Are we frustrated with that person out of our own fear? And so, like we talked about, being proactive in educating ourselves and then taking a step back and then really looking around our actual surroundings and seeing the beauty that is there today. And I just challenge anyone, like if you want to get into an argument with someone, if you want to clap back at someone, if you want to post some passive aggressive thing, don't. I am all for having good discussions. In fact, we did a podcast episode. It was before the last election, and it was about having conversations with people that you disagree with. And we'll link to that in the show notes. I think that that's important, especially in our real life. But doing it from the place of, I really want to try to understand where you're coming from. I want to know what it's like to walk in your shoes. I really want to hear what you believe and why you believe it. I want to hear your story. I want to get to know you. And I might not end up agreeing with you at all, but I can learn from that. And hopefully you can learn from me as well. And we can both learn from one another. And so I'm not saying don't ever have those conversations, because I do think that they can be really important. That's how people are educated. That's how life change happens. But if you're doing it just because you want to win an argument or prove your point, or just because you're angry and you're afraid, just don't. Just step back, take a deep breath, get off the internet, turn off the TV, turn off the radio, tell the person that you're having a conversation with, I really want to continue this conversation, but I'm going to need to take a day or 10 to get in a better headspace to be able to have this conversation, because I don't want to ruin a relationship or burn a bridge just because I am struggling with my own fear and it's going to come out as anger. Just acknowledging that. And so let's be the people who quietly rebel against the narrative of fear by being hope bringers, joy givers, gratitude choosers. Let's fight against fear by living lives of faith as we look to Him who is our greatest hope, Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today. For more great resources, please visit crystalpayne.com.